You're listening to KTOO. Many homes in the Menenhall Valley near the riverfront are seeing a decline in their assessed value following last August's glacial outburst flood. That's according to new data shared by the city this week. City Finance Director Angie Flick says homes in the area are selling for less than they did just a few years ago.
Burst flooding has created a situation where we have some homes that are perhaps valued less than they might otherwise be because they're in that area of the valley that's threatened by annual flooding.
This week, the City and Borough of Juneau began mailing out its annual property assessment values to homes and businesses. Flick says most Juneau homeowners shouldn't see too much of a change from last year. The average residential property assessments rose by less than 1%, and on average, the assessed value of a single-family home dropped by about 0.5%. She says overall, this year's data indicates that the housing market in Juneau might finally be stabilizing.
Juneau's market, as you know, a few years ago, really prices skyrocketed. And what we're seeing now is a leveling of prices, even though it's higher than it may have been 5 or 10 years ago. We're not seeing that dramatic increase.
Last year, residential assessments rose by less than 2%. The year before that, values increased by about 16%, though some residents reported a more than 40% rise. High housing costs persist in Juneau, despite the market cooling down. For the past 2 years, Juneau has had the most expensive average sales price for a single-family home more than anywhere else in the state, according to a study by the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Though property tax assessments are in the mail, residents won't be billed until this summer. The city calculates property taxes by multiplying a property's assessed value with the local mill rate. Juneau's trail maintenance nonprofit wants to hire fired Forest Service staff to make a new trail crew if it can raise enough money to pay them. The plan would allow skilled trail workers to continue their work this summer after half of the U.S. Forest Service trail crews were fired last month by the Trump administration. But as KTOO's Yvonne Crumry reports, organizers say this isn't an ideal or permanent solution.
Juneau's Peterson Lake Trail is known for being a bit wet. It winds through Muskeg to a lake where a U.S. Forest Service cabin sits.
The trail over time has just gotten soggier and soggier and
Megan Tabachek is the director of Trail Mix Incorporated, Juneau's trail maintenance nonprofit. While making her way down part of the trail that her crews have been tending to, she shows some of the changes they've made.
You know, the great thing about this job is there's always no shortage of trails that need love.
The trail can be slow going on a rainy day, most days in Juneau, with deep pools of rain and mud in between tree roots. There are sections of wood planks that have eroded and rotted in the 10 years since they were put in. Trail Mix has been replacing those with gravel.
Yeah, one of my favorite tips that needs more gravel.
The Peterson Lake Trail is one of many that Trail Mix's trail crews have spent countless hours improving for Juneau residents. Now, the work may be on pause. In the past, the organization partnered with U.S. Forest Service trail crews and had two of its own crews funded by the federal government dedicated to working on Tongass National Forest trails. In the recent firings, Juneau's Forest Service crews were halved, and Trail Mix isn't planning on being reimbursed for its work on Forest Service trails. Tabachek wants to keep those fired employees' trail work skills in Juneau, and she says Trail Mix can be a landing place for those who lost their jobs. But she says those jobs should be reinstated.
First off, I want to recognize, like, this is not an ideal situation for us, for anyone, you know. We understand and we know that the best place for federal workers is to continue being with the Forest Service.
Tabachek says, as she understands it, the Forest Service is planning to keep all remaining trail crew on cabin maintenance, leaving Trail Mix to maintain Juneau's 250 miles of trail. But the remaining funding sources are funding city trails, not national ones. So Trail Mix is fundraising $170,000, enough to hire 5 trail crew staff for the season. As of Tuesday, community members have donated $8,000. Tabachek says she knows they have a long way to go, but she's optimistic. Nearly 90% of Juneau residents use the trails throughout the year, according to a 2016 City and Borough of Juneau survey. Juneau's 9 Forest Service cabins also see heavy use. After last month's Forest Service firings, Quentin Wolman Morgan's crew is down to 1 person.
And you can't do it by yourself. The projects are just far too big.
He maintained Juneau's cabins for 3 seasons. He was fired last month in a wave of Forest Service firings that suddenly left dozens of Juneau-based federal workers without a job. He says it's a lot of pumping out the bathrooms, among other things.
You know, like if a bunk bed is not fixed or like a staircase isn't fixed, you know, it's like kind of an unsafe thing. And like, you know, we're always out there replacing windows, painting, everything gets really weathered.
The Forest Service hasn't released a plan for how the work that was done by fired staff will be maintained. And out on the Christopher Trail near Gold Creek, Gushchihin Ricardo Worrell is an avid trail user in Juneau who's worked on trails with Trail Mix for the past two summers. He says Southeast Alaska is an especially challenging place to build trails. But he says that hard work isn't always noticeable to people who regularly use the trails.
You know it's done right when people don't notice it. When you can go about your daily life like, oh, let's go out to a cabin this weekend and not have to second guess it.
Worrell grew up in Juneau, hiking, biking, and skiing the trails. And he says they're an integral part of Juneau's community and culture. And trail work, he says, is essential. And he hopes residents will step up to support it. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
And the three heliskiers killed Tuesday in a massive avalanche near Girdwood all had Minnesota ties. Alaska State Troopers identified the men as 39-year-old David Linder from Florida, 39-year-old Charles Eppard from Montana, and 38-year-old Jeremy Leif from Minnesota. They were on a guided backcountry ski trip with friends, according to the Minnesota Star Tribune. Linder leaves behind a wife and three young sons. He co-owned several Minnesota radio stations with managing partner Matt Kettleson, who praised him in a prepared statement on the station's website.
I will remember Dave Linder as an amazing family man, one of the smartest people I've ever known, and someone who lived life to the fullest.
The Star Tribune said Leif was a Minneapolis resident and Eppard had attended a college in St. Peter, Minnesota. Troopers said the men were skiing Tuesday afternoon with Girdwood-based Chugach Powder Guides. They were caught in a slide near 20 Mile River, and guides said their avalanche beacons indicated they were buried in 40 to 100 feet of snow. Troopers tried to reach the site Wednesday, but were stopped by poor weather. They were making an aerial assessment of the slide area today to determine whether recovery work could be done safely. The Chugach National Forest Avalanche Information Center forecasted high avalanche danger in the area today at elevations above 1,000 feet. Additional snow yesterday meant both natural and human-triggered avalanches were possible. The center advised against travel in avalanche terrain. And marine species like salmon and humpback whales might be becoming more frequent fixtures in the Arctic, especially as sea ice becomes less reliable from climate change. For residents in Alaska's most northern communities, it can mean changes to subsistence. And as the Alaska Desk's Aliona Nijin reports, the shifts in migration are also fascinating scientists.
Catching salmon in the North Slope village of Kaktovik was unheard of not too long ago. But as resident Robert Thompson says, some fishermen now see salmon more regularly. About 5 years ago, Thompson caught a dozen salmon, a small but noticeable number, he says.
Before it was unusual and people would talk about it, but somebody got a salmon, but now it's fairly common, but not like many, many, many.
Fishermen, hunters, and researchers gathered at the Alaska Marine Science Symposium in Anchorage back in January to discuss changing migration patterns of several fish species and marine animals. That includes humpbacks, who seem to be gaining new ground up north, bowheads expanding their diet, and salmon observed in the Arctic. One of the conference presenters was Elizabeth Mika-Clindley, a graduate student from Bethel who grew up fishing for salmon. For a year, Lindley and other researchers tracked temperatures in the Anaktuvik River, which runs through gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. They saw that water at the depth of salmon nests never got below freezing. They also estimated that salmon emerged around August, which is later than in other parts of the state, but the optimal time for the Arctic.
The temperature conditions, it seems like they are survivable, and it does seem like they would allow for development to occur with enough time for them to hatch and emerge into the stream.
The warming environment has also been affecting bowhead whales. The animals have been delaying their migration to the Bering Sea or even staying in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas for the winter. Marine ecologist Clarissa Teixeira says the makeup of the whales' baleen plates can offer a window into their diet and movements. They share a sampled baleen plates from 11 bowheads and looked at the ice conditions during the years they were harvested. She discovered that after 2016, when the ice conditions were extremely low, bowheads expanded their foraging habitats or fed on wider composition of prey. She shared her discovery during the conference.
And that's amazing because it shows how resilient these individuals are, right?
Less ice might also mean new territory for humpback whales. Oceanographer Kate Stafford says data from local whalers and aerial surveys points to more humpbacks visiting the Chukchi Sea in recent years. In Utqiagvik, humpbacks were sighted only twice before 2021 and 2 to 3 times in years after that. Then, last fall, researchers saw more than 25 whales feeding close together for 2 days in a row.
We came across what I would call humpback palooza.
Stafford says that young humpbacks usually follow the migration patterns they learn from their mothers. Since researchers observed multiple mother-calf pairs, the whales might return to the area. Utqiagvik whaler Michael Donovan says he did not witness the humpback palooza, but he has seen a few humpbacks during his fall hunts. He says that he and other whalers are worried that humpbacks might be competing for krill and copepods with bowheads, the staple subsistence resource in his community.
Well, definitely they're an invasive species. You know, they come in and eat the same food that our bowheads eat.
Donovan and other hunters say they're supportive of scientists collecting data on whales other than bowheads, which are growing their presence in warming waters in the Arctic. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it's currently 43 degrees and cloudy just outside of downtown. And it looks like we've got rain in the forecast going into the weekend with a high of 41 and a low of 37 for tomorrow. This is KTOO.